Bowden, I want to welcome you to episode 337 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I'm going old school on this one, so you'll only hear from me. No interview, although we will tag and add an interview that I did last summer with Mal Hall at the end. Mal Hall, brilliant, funny young comic, used to open for me. Now he's moving up, building his own fan base and headlining his own show. So I'm going to do that. We're going to add that interview. It was from last summer with KBLA. So this morning, today I'm having a day. I will tell you that. Just one of those days where minor frustrations just add up. And it just started off that way. And then I was in the car and I was listening to NPR. Because, yeah, I do that. Because I love when they say you're an NPR nerd. Yeah, because it's not cool to stay informed, right? It's all good. I do shows for NPR. I love NPR. Anyway, they're talking about this case that the Supreme Court is listening to, hearing, and they are definitely leaning towards changing the law in Maine. Maine has a law that if you live in a rural area without a local high school, they will assist in paying for your kid to go to a private high school, as long as it's not a religious high school. They want it to be an open school, like a public school. So two families are suing, saying that that is religious discrimination because they can't send their kid to religious school. And the Supreme Court is leaning towards the parents. Now here's the thing. This is why it's ridiculous. And actually, this came up recently with a comic who wasn't from the United States asking about the separation of church and state. They happen to be Muslim, which is an interesting interesting person to be asking. Is there a separation of church and state? Not officially, but there should be. And the founding fathers, who the conservatives are always, oh, the founding fathers wanted the two separate. So that being said, the way the Supreme Court justices are saying, okay, for example, Brett Kavanaugh, you remember, I like beer, Brett Kavanaugh. Yeah, the sexual assaulter. So his thing, he says, two neighbors, he's hypothetical argument, two neighbors. One wants to use the subsidy to send a child to a school with religious instruction. Another that favors secular private school or non-religious private school. The neighbor says, well, we want to send our children to a religious private school and they're not going to get the benefit. That's just discrimination on the basis of religion right there at the neighborhood level. John Roberts made the same argument, this or that, you know, if school teaches religious values, blah, blah, blah. Well, here's the thing, and this is why this is so utterly ridiculous and why it really bothered me. One of the religious principles that the school is teaching, remember, these parents are suing to get money to send their kid to a religious school. One of the things their Christian school teaches is to disavow Islam, is to not respect Islam as a religion, to teach anti. So what you're doing, what these Supreme Court justices and these parents and these schools are saying is it's our religious freedom to discriminate against another religion. And that's okay with them. And not only that, they also blatantly discriminate against gays. Okay. Not just will they not hire gay teachers, they can actually expel a student for being gay. This is all, you know, Jesus would absolutely approve of this, right? Right? In the spirit of Christmas? Yeah, of course. Of course. And this is not just this thing in Maine. And by the way, this is mind-blowing. Okay, I want you to think about this. I want you to hear this. the Supreme Court, they haven't made the decision yet, but the conservatives on the Supreme Court, which is the majority, which it shouldn't be, we need to expand the Supreme Court. There should be, I told you, I've heard different numbers. I'm going to say there should be 25 justices on the Supreme Court. Why? Because then each justice doesn't have this much power. Look at who has the power on this Supreme Court. We've got a sexual predator. We've got a handmaid. We got, I don't know what Clarence Thomas is. We got a black man whose wife says black lives don't matter. Okay, so that's another one. Then you have John Roberts, who everybody was shocked. Everybody was shocked when he said healthcare was okay. They considered that being a traitor to the party. So these are the people on the Supreme Court, all right? And they have far too much power, and they're there for life. No, we need to, the Democrats need to stop being scared of the Republicans, because you know if there was a majority liberal or thinking number of justices, they would do it. There should be 25 justices on the court. That way, no justice has that much power. That way, when a justice dies, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, unfortunately passed away. She tried to hang in there, but she passed away. And they rushed in another conservative judge. And that's how we got the handmaid on the court. The court should be bigger so that no one person has this much power. Anyway, getting back to this decision, imagine saying that it's okay to send money to a school to teach discrimination against another religion, to send money to a religious school that teaches discrimination against another religion. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that if you were a Muslim and you wanted to send your kid to a Muslim school that discriminated against Christianity, that said Christianity is not a real religion and Christianity is evil and everything else they say about Muslims and Islam, how much money you think that kid would get? How much money you think the Muslim family would get when we have Lauren Boebert, the congresswoman? Okay, and I'm going to talk more about her stupid ass later, but making these Muslim jokes, and it's a congressperson, okay? Ilhan Omar saying that, you know, it's safe, she's not wearing a backpack and stupid shit like that. That would be, if you reverse it, if Muslims talked about Christians that way, there'd be a problem. If Muslims tried to pass Sharia law, that, we can't have that Sharia law. What about Christian law? Well, that's okay. That's okay. We can judge you based on Christian. But I mean, both religions are anti-gay. It gets back to old George Carlin bit about my invisible being in the sky is stronger than your invisible being in the sky, right? That's what it is. Believe what you want to believe, but you can't do this in schools. Only, you know what? Now you can't. Or at least you will be once the Supreme Court brings a decision that it looks like they're going to make. Man. You can send your kid to a religious school to be taught to discriminate against another religion. That is mind-blowing. That is ridiculous. Sorry about that. I know I should be on Do Not Disturb. I am less than professional. So there's that. Oh, and it's not just this case in Maine. All right. There's also in Iowa, another, quote, Christian school. And I say Christian with a quote because this kind of hate has nothing to do with Christianity. Okay. I just don't believe if Jesus comes back, I just don't believe he's going to be marching around carrying a gun, talking about how much he hates gays. Just doesn't sound like what he would be doing. But in Iowa, the state panel will pay almost $1.9 million to two University of Iowa Christian student groups because they won lawsuits regarding their ability to discriminate against LGBTQ people. Once again, in the name of religion, they're allowed to discriminate. What happened here was a gay person wanted to run for office in one of these groups. They said, you can't because you're gay. He sued. They sued, saying we are allowed to discriminate against gays. By the way, who's getting the money? The lawyers. Okay. I'm sorry, I just have to laugh at the name of this group, Business Leaders in Christ. Yeah, because Jesus was big on business. That was one of his main things, running businesses. So the Business Leaders in Christ will receive $1.37 million, but that's for legal fees. And the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship gets $20,000 in damages, $513,000 in legal fees. So if anything, you should just learn to be a lawyer. If you really want to profit on this discrimination, you should become a lawyer. But Business Leaders in Christ, you know what that tells me? There's another generation of Joel Osteens coming. They're actually learning how to do it in college. Wow. Wow. And I am not anti-Christian. I am not anti-Christian. I just would like them to keep religion out of government, okay? If it's a public school, if it's public money, it is not supposed to be used to endorse any particular religion, and instead it will be. So these are the courts. This is where we're at today. This is America. This is America. Let's move on to Boebert. Okay, and it's not just Boebert. It was also Thomas Massie, an idiot congressman from Kentucky. Their Christmas cards are them and their families posing with guns. Lauren Boebert, as you know, is the crazy one from Colorado. She has four children, and two of them are small children. Two of them look like they're under 10, each holding rifles. That's her in front of a Christmas tree. And then Massie had like the six members of his family holding rifles, and they were holding assault weapons, and that's their Christmas card. By the way, Boebert, it's interesting she chose four children, because that's how many kids were killed at Oxford High School in the school shooting last week, which they now arrested the parents as, you know, for getting them the gun. So, you know, it is good to know. It's nice to know that their hatred, their fear, their discrimination, their prejudice is generational, right? Wouldn't want it to stop with this generation. Got to teach the next generation. What are Massie and Boebert so scared of? What they talk about how great America is, freedom, liberty, blah, blah, blah. What are they so scared of that they need these weapons? What are you so scared of that your kids need to walk around with rifles? It's mind-blowing, and yet it's not. It on one hand, it's mind-blowing. On the other hand, it's absolutely normal. Charles Sykes got in trouble for this. For on MSNBC, he called Massie's picture a dick pic. He simply said it's a dick pic because he said it has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. Okay, it was just a display of firepower intended to trigger and flaunt. He's trying to create trouble, okay, and it's the same as sending a dick pic, right? Just when you send a dick pic, you're looking for a reaction. You're trying to get a reaction, and you're not getting it, so you're upset. And, of course, they said that, you know, you can't say dick pic on MSNBC. But he's right. That's all they put these pictures up for, to get a reaction. And here it is. We're talking about it. So he's getting it. You remember Ted Cruz cooked bacon on top of his machine gun. Hey, I don't know, man. They're all... It really is a dick pic, right? They're just waving their guns around like they're waving their dicks around. And it's an embarrassment to dicks. It really is. It's... Oh, boy. So... Oh, yeah. Then there'll be thoughts and prayers at the next school shooting. Because, of course, there'll be another school shooting. Because it's America. Let's move on. Okay? You know, I say it. I'm opening shows with it. It's going to be my t-shirt for sale in 2022. Stupid don't get tired. Stupid don't get tired. So we've got the religious people making sure, they're not stupid. They're smart. They're using the court to make sure there'll be another generation of religious discrimination toward Muslims, just making, just in case you were going to treat them equally or like humans, we got to make sure you can send your kids to school so they learn to discriminate against them properly. Then you've got Congress people using kids to wave guns on Christmas cards in a country that active shooting drills are normal in high schools, okay? And of course, here in LA, firefighters union, firefighters, you know, heroes, lifesavers, first responders, whatever you want to call them, fighting against the vaccine mandate. A Superior Court judge denied a request by the fire department union to get an injunction to delay enforcement of the city's vaccine mandate, which, of course, has led to, let me get the number right, 113 firefighters put on unpaid leave for failing to comply with the vaccine mandate. Yeah, I've said this before, I'll say it again. D.L. Hughley, brilliant comic, had the best line about these police and firemen who refused to get vaccinated. They should have just complied. I mean, isn't that what they say about every black person that the cops kill? They should have just complied. So if you want to keep your job, you should have complied. Now, and this is a complete waste of time. I really don't know why scientists do this, because no one is listening. Well, no one who should be listening is listening. But a study performed by scientists from the University of Göttingen and Cornell University, found that wearing a face mask, even if it doesn't fit perfectly, is more protective than social distancing. Now, keep in mind, the anti-maskers aren't social distancing either. They're going to do what they want to do. But just if you're curious as to how it works, this is what they found, okay? So, when breathing normally through the nose and exposed to a typical COVID-19 viral load, in other words, the virus being, breathing the virus, how it spreads, social distancing alone, even at a distance of 10 feet, led to an upper bound of 90% for the risk of infection after a few minutes. After a few minutes, you're 90% at risk of getting COVID, even 10 feet away. Now, with a surgical mask, it takes 30 minutes at a distance of 5 feet. Okay, 5 feet, half the distance. It takes 30 minutes to get to that 90% risk. Okay, if you wear an FP2 mask, it drops down to 20% after an hour. And if both people are wearing a well-fitting FP2 mask, it is 0.4%. So the risk goes from 90% no mask at 10 feet away to 0.4% if two people are wearing a FP2 mask. Okay, so what they're saying is, the N95, the FP2 to N95, whatever you want to call it, mask, reduces risk compared to a surgical mask by almost 100 times. Wow. And then they go on and show how the research was done. And you know, none of this matters, right? Because nobody listens, because it's just science. These are just people who are scientists. These are people who study this. This is a study. This is what they do. And they're showing that, yeah, we need to wear masks. That's what they show. We need to, if you don't want a social distance, which is going out the window, if you go anywhere public, there's very little, if any, social distancing going on. Okay. And certainly not at outdoor events, sporting events, et cetera, et cetera. And they're saying, if you wear a mask, can you imagine if both people are wearing N95 masks, the risk goes from 90% in 10 minutes to 0.4%. I ain't wearing no mask, some bitch. I got a gun. I got Jesus. My kids going to school learning to hate the gays and the Islams. And that is America. God bless us. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're well on our way to being great again. Good news. You know, and this is a short podcast. Okay, one other thing I'm going to talk about before I go on to the good news. Biden and dealing with Putin. This is interesting because, you know, Putin's flexing and about to enter the Ukraine again. Okay, try to take over the Ukraine. And Biden is saying we will send extra troops to NATO close by, and there will be economic sanctions. In other words, he's standing up to Putin as opposed to the orange one, who was Putin's lapdog. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. We're hoping it doesn't play out to World War III. We're hoping that's not the end. And just in a follow-up to what we were talking about on the last podcast, CNN did in fact fire Chris Cuomo for using his media connections to try to help his brother with his, and his sexual assault cases. You know, Andrew Cuomo out as governor of New York and so on. Did I support Cuomo? Yeah, initially. Yeah, he was one of the good governors on COVID. But then it came out, the sexual harassment thing, not cool. I you know, one of the things that he said was, well, I'm Italian. And as you know, an Italian friend of mine said, yeah, that's kind of, you know, the touching is Italian, but you can't do that as governor. You can't do it as governor. Okay. And touching other people, particularly men touching women without permission, is wrong. So don't do it. But talking to politicians, you might as well try to show science to an anti-vaxxer or anti-masker or whatever. Here I am doing it. I say don't do it, and yet here I am doing it. The hell is wrong with me? I don't know. So let's get to the good news. Tom Brady, who he's got his faults. No doubt he's got his faults, but he's proven to be the GOAT, the greatest of all time as a football quarterback. And now, and this is actually crazy what happened, these kids it was a high school basketball team, Notre Dame Prep, okay, which is in Michigan, and they had a group chat, and when they dialed the number, they misdialed by one, they misdialed by one digit, and they ended up getting a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers football team. Okay, it's crazy, but this is what they got. They were suddenly speaking to Murphy Bunting, a football player from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay, and then what he did when he got this FaceTime call from these high school kids in Michigan, misdialed by one, they get this guy who's playing pro football for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay, and what does he do? He starts passing around the phone, and the kids got to talk to Rob Gronkowski, Richard Sherman, Leonard Fournette, and Tom Brady jumped on the call. Hey, how cool is that? I think that is very cool. And yeah, something good happened. Something good happened this week. We needed something good, and that was it. So the Supreme Court is important. People do not pay attention to the Supreme Court. No one paid attention to the Supreme Court when Hillary was running against Donald Trump. That's how we got the court to where it is now. They're all afraid now of saying that they're packing the court, when in fact, what the Democrats need to do is pack the court. You need to expand the Supreme Court, but don't expand it by one or two justices. Make it big. Make it big so that nobody has that much power. That would be a good thing. That's enough out of me. Who's paying attention? Episode 337. Thank you guys for listening. Again, check out my new show. It's on Fireside. You go to the Fireside app. Okay, download it. Thursdays, noon Pacific. It's called Soapbox. It's where I give you a chance to rant. Listen, you've been listening to me for the last 20 minutes. I want to listen to you. Soapbox is great. I'll kick it off with a few rants. I got a couple ready for tomorrow. Then you guys can jump in and you could talk about whatever you want to talk about. Now, I may not agree with you, but I'll give you the platform as long as you, you know, don't insult someone personally. I'm not inviting anybody to go on an anti-Islamic rant, okay? The way Jesus would. No, he wouldn't. Jesus would not be happy with these people. I'm confident of that. Thank you for listening. Who's paying attention? You are. This weekend, Denver Improv people, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'll be in Denver. If you're anywhere in that Colorado area, just leave Bobert, leave her guns at home, and come to the show. Thank you. Let's listen to Mal Hall. Mal is great. This is Alonzo Bowden. The show is called Who's Paying Attention? Right now, I am here. I told you I'm going to bring you some of the funniest people. The gift I have of being a comedian is knowing some of the funniest people in the world. And right now, I have a comedian travels the country. Actually, he will start traveling the world. I don't know if he's gone international yet, but he's an international person, which we are going to talk about. He has been working with me for years, and it is a little known fact that he is one of George Wallace's illegitimate children. Ladies and gentlemen, Mal Hall.
What's up, everybody? Oh, George Wallace.
Mal, we give Mal a hard time about George because it's one of the things that happens in comedy. Comedy works downhill, you know, and we learn from the old masters. And I learned a lot from George because George was one of the masters when I started. And Mal has learned some stuff from me. And one of the things that Mal learned the hard way is you don't mess with George Wallace.
You really do not. You do not. Unless you want a verbal beating immediately, you don't do it. He'll roast you on the spot.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, Mal, we are, and we do have a lot to talk about this hour. I want to talk to you about, well, let's start with talking about the pandemic. Have you been vaccinated?
Yes.
Okay, great. And we were talking about that, about the conspiracy theories involved with vaccinations and why people don't get vaccinated. But before I even get into that, you developed an interesting business toward the pandemic. Let's start with talking about that. You know, a lot of us sat around the house and did nothing. This man was rather industrious during the pandemic.
Well, the pandemic taught all of us comedians, all artists that play live shows, it taught us immediately how non-essential our business was. We were the first business. They were like, I don't think we're going to be needing your little jokes. So I started a wood-fired pizza pop-up because pizza was a passion. As you know, like whenever we'd be on the road, I'm like, Alonzo, let's go try all this pizza. And you're like, you know, you didn't want to go to all the pizza places I wanted to go to. You can't have pizza for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and that's the kind of person I am. So I just put that passion into creating pizza on my own.
So how do you do a pizza pop-up? Because don't you need an oven to make pizzas?
Yeah, I bought a wood-fired oven. And I made sure it was portable so it fits in my car because I'm the kind of man that doesn't own a truck. And, I build a fire and make the dough, make the sauce. And in the pandemic, I would pop up in my friends' backyards and I would do pre-orders and people would pull up to the house. I would deliver the pizza and they would drive it out and go enjoy it.
That fascinates me. I had no idea there was such a thing as a portable wood fire oven.
Portable is a relative term. I mean, the thing weighs 150 pounds.
So was it designed, though? Was it designed to be moved, or you just figured out how to do this?
I mean, on the website, it says portable. So I imagine they meant for it to maybe move around your backyard, not move, like, your business around. But I use it.
So you're out making pizzas, but you were also working, though, right? You were doing comedy.
Yeah, on Zoom.
The
yeah, we were doing
on
the Zoom shows.
How long have you been back out live?
Since a little before June. I think in May I started going out and doing spots.
Okay, because this is what I'm leading up to. How long before the two come together where you're actually have a pop-up pizza comedy show where you're actually like, hey, come to this place, right? You got to do this. You got to find a place. I don't know what it's going to be, a park, a parking lot, a business somewhere, and make the pizza for the people and then entertain them while they're eating their pizza. This is an opportunity. How can you let this slip by?
Look, it's not slipping by. It is an idea. As you know me, I'm a very kind of analytical person, so I'm trying to figure out all of the steps before I do it. But a pizza party tour with comedy, and pizza is definitely something I'm working on.
I think it's a fantastic idea. What do you think? 800-920-1580. I wanted to take your calls. Do you think this is a great idea? Because to me, this is like all-in-one entertainment. The man, did you know the guy who made the pizzas is making the jokes right now?
Yeah.
We only got to pay one guy. I love that.
Yeah, people are happy when they're at a comedy show laughing, and pizza is happy food. It's hard to be angry while you're eating pizza. I think that's why the transition was easy. So why not put both? You know, there's not, you can't have too much of a great thing like that.
I can so see that on the side of a food truck or something. It's hard to be angry when you're eating pizza. Like, that's a slogan. So let's jump back into the vaccine. Because I was just, I had somebody leave a message about the conspiracy theories, and I talked about this. What is the most insane, funniest, what conspiracy theory have you heard? What have you heard about reasons people give for not getting vaccinated? Have you heard anything other than us being magnetic or Bill Gates is watching you?
No, the magnetic one makes me laugh. You know what I mean? Like, people... The vaccine was like the first thing that Americans wanted to read the ingredients on the bottle. You know what I mean? It's like all the artificial processed food that we eat, and the vaccine is like, no, 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 no. I don't know what's in it. You can't put that in my body. It's like...
Right. So we've been eating fast food for the last 50, 60 yeah. years, even though they tell us not to. And one person said, you know... We smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
Right? But when they give us a vaccine, people are like,
McDonald's french fries are fine to eat, not in the fridge, after 3 years after ordering them. But the vaccine is a problem.
It is fascinating the fear people come up with and the reasons people come up with for not doing these things. And this is relatively... new. As someone sent me online, they said the polio vaccine came out, and within like 30 days, everyone was getting vaccinated for polio.
Yeah.
They just believed. I mean, yes,
they didn't have social media back then.
That must be it. The government has lied to us, and as black people, it's definitely lied to us. But on this one, as I said, we saw everyone taking the vaccine.
Yeah.
And people still fight it.
I mean, I think it's one of these, American things. As you know, we travel the country. People are so proud to say they're American and that they're free to not do things that make sense. I'm free, so I'm not going to wear a mask. Why not? This is an airborne disease, and we don't know anything about it. Wouldn't you want to just put on a mask? No, I'm free. Okay.
Right.
Well, you're also getting tackled in this grocery store right now because this other free person with a mask is scared of you.
Freedom. Free to be dumb.
Yes.
This is Alonzo Bowden, KBLA Talk 1580, 800-920-1580. Call me. Let's talk about pizza.
I used to eat tacos every single day, but then I had a pizza slice and it blew me away.
This is Alonzo Bowden. The show is called Who's Paying Attention. The station is KBLA 1580. The phone number 800-920-1580. We're talking pizza with Mal Hall, the brilliant comic. Mal, you have just experienced corn. Corn is the best board engineer because anything you talk about, he's got a song.
That was great. That was a great pull.
Have you ever heard that song? I used to eat tacos and now I eat pizza.
I'm definitely going to get the name and artist of that song so I can play it later.
That is fantastic. So I'm here talking with Mal Hall. We are always unapologetically progressive. And as I say, when my friends come in, we're also unapologetically funny because I am fortunate enough to know some of the funniest people in the world. And Mal is definitely one of them. So I was talking to you about the pandemic and your, you know, wood fire pizza business, which is great. But you had another big change in your life not too long ago. You are now a father.
Full blown dad. I bought New Balance shoes the other day. I'm a dad now. I'm not a dumpy dad. I don't have those Nike walking shoes yet.
Right. You don't have a dad bod yet.
No.
You're still in shape.
Yeah, I'm still trying. But yeah, my son turned 2 on June 1st. So he did his first year socially isolated from everything, which was interesting. But yeah, man, I'm a dad. I love it. That was like my full-time job in the last year and a half is just.
Oh, absolutely. Being, yeah. Absolutely. I can only imagine what it's like. So what was that like though? So suddenly, you know, and I know your lifestyle and, you know, everyone listening, Mal and I are friends. We've worked together a ton over the years. And normally your life is, okay, I'm going to work. It's Thursday or Friday, whatever. I'm gone for the weekend. I come back. But for the past year, you were home. Like, he didn't know you on Saturday and Sunday. You got to sleep late on weekends. You weren't sleeping late during the pandemic.
No. And I learned a lot of lessons the hard way. Like, parents listening understand, if you enjoy an adult beverage, you really have to ask yourself, like, how much do you enjoy these adult beverages? Because these kids wake up at the butt crack of dawn, happy as hell, and they don't know the concept of a hangover or what the tequila did to you the night before. And so I learned that. And, you know, I've become an early riser. I've become a more disciplined drinker. I'm going to drink waters in between the cocktails. And yeah, I've learned a lot this year.
Well, I have to say, I got a puppy during the pandemic.
Not the same thing.
Exactly.
If you're I'm a dog dad. No.
I wasn't going to say anything that ridiculous. What I was going to say is, when you get a puppy, the one person you can never complain to is the parent of a newborn. They're like, really? Really? You think you got problem? No, I don't have. When I say problem, it's not a problem. It's a quality problem. It's a gift. But no, I was just going to make the point that it is not the same.
Yeah.
It is so completely different. Like, yeah, I had to get up early and I had to housebreak him and stuff like that. But you have a whole different level, and yours is going to be little and helpless for a bit longer than a puppy.
yeah, although he is trying to be not helpless, you know what I mean? Like, when they say they grow up so fast, that's a concept that you can't really understand until the kid is right in front of you. Like, this guy went from you know, not communicating to, you know, just eating and pooping in his diaper to now trying to find out if the house can kill him every minute of the day. They ask if your house is baby-proofed. You don't know until the baby gets there. He's going to find a way to make the most mundane thing dangerous.
We have a caller. Clint from Phoenix, Arizona, wants to talk to us about comedy. I think we know a little bit about it. Clint, how are you doing?
Hey, what's going on? First off, just want to give a shout-out to Mal. I actually met you at the show you do with Alonzo in Chicago in 2019, and it's crazy because, again, we became parents at the same time. My daughter was born a day after your son, so I know all about him. I'm in the baby-proof room right now. And the thing I wanted to really give a shout-out to, well, first off, I had to say for Alonzo, he mentioned the dad bod. We actually have a riding group out here in Phoenix called Dad Bod Motorcycle Riders, so just want to give a shout-out to that. But also,
Clint, I hate to disappoint you, but not only is Mal in excellent shape, he's one of those people who actually lost weight during the pandemic, so we don't like him at all right? Just the man makes and sells pizza and loses weight, so don't go down that road, okay, Clint?
Well, I wanted to say, being from Chicago, man, that whole pizza and comedy, that's under that whole, man, why didn't I think of that before ideas, but, you know, I think a good market to try that would be the Chicago market, because you know how much we love that pizza.
Yeah, they love pizza. They love beer. They love comedy. Chicago is one of my favorite cities in the country. Definitely will be a stop on the pizza party tour when that happens.
We'll make it out to Phoenix, too.
Will do.
All right, Clint. Hey, thanks for calling, Clint. We appreciate the call. We appreciate you following us in our live comedy, in our comedy careers. And, of course, on the motorcycle thing, because, you know, you and I have that in common. Do you still ride? Is your wife okay with you riding the motorcycles with a newborn baby?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to go step in my garage and take a look. I got my Ducati and my BMW still. So I still do my, I actually mostly just do the track days because, you know, we've lost a few riders here on the street. So, you know, I don't think it's necessarily she's afraid of that. It's more just too lazy. And again, the whole dad bod, you know, I can only really do the once a month on the track versus those long street rides I used to do.
Yeah, because a lot of guys who ride, they give up bikes when the kids are born. Their family's like, no, we don't want you taking any chances. So good for you for still being able to ride. And I'm sure your wife has you heavily insured. Just in case. Just in case. I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just saying just in case. Yeah.
You know there's a problem in your relationship if your wife's like, no, go take a long ride. Take a long ride on the bike. Leave the helmet. Leave the helmet at home. Who cares? It's raining.
Clint, thanks for calling, man. I appreciate you.
Thanks.
Have a good day. Anything that you had to give up as a dad that you did before the baby was born?
Just late nights drinking. As you know, like, I just enjoy a good time. And, you know, a lot of the good times kind of go deep into the middle of the night. But fortunately for me, you know, I didn't have many withdrawals in the pandemic. There was nowhere to go. So it was easy to get adjusted to this life of kind of like being home at a certain time.
Now, your mother, okay, your mother became a grandmother. I know she was very excited about that. Where did you fall? You know, in other words, did you gain status? Did you lose status? Now, there's a baby around.
Yeah.
Are you just in the way of her getting to this baby? What's going on with
that? So, Kalino is the first grandkid on both sides of the family. And I've learned with my mom, like, I gained some status maybe the day he was born or maybe the day that he was announced that he was coming. And since he's been here, he's just the favorite in the family, period. Like, the hierarchy of people that my mom loves is a very specific. It goes, my son, Kalino, Kalino again, Kalino a third time, then LeBron James, Stephen Curry, and then the rest of her children sort of fall somewhere under that.
Well, you can't feel too bad to lose to LeBron and Steph Curry. You know, you got multiple MVP winners.
Yes.
Multiple champions. You can't, you know, you didn't bring home a ring, Mal.
That's true. But I brought home a grandbaby. Which was worth $3,000, and for those of you that don't know the background,
I was going to say you might want to explain that we are not trafficking in children. You got to be careful, Mal. This ain't a comedy club. We're on the radio. All right, explain to them.
So my mom has wanted to be a grandma since I turned 20. You know, she had me when she was 18. She has four kids. She's a single mom. She just wanted to be a grandma, and she got desperate, you know, 3 years ago. She put out a group text to me and my siblings. The first person that gives me a grandkid will get $3,000. Good luck. May the smartest child win. And look at you guys. Comedy pays well, but at the level I'm at, I needed to make this baby to make rent.
All right. So Kalino's already earning money.
Yes.
So we were talking about critical race theory, education, the what's going on in this country right now, which is mind-blowing, the sort of, let's call it the anti-fact world. You have a son now. Now, granted, he's young. He's not in school. But do you think about these things, like what school's going to be like for him, what he's going to learn? I know they have all those things like, wow, he's two and you haven't gotten in line for the right preschool to make sure that he can go to Stanford in 18 years. Like, it's already too late. Yeah. It's already too late. Your kid's not going to, you know. So, but do you think about those type of things in raising a kid, education? And
I mean, yes. Like, we're saving to buy a house. And so I've never thought about the rating of a school until it got brought up and, you know, looking for a home. But I don't know. I think the biggest problem with critical race theory is the name of it. It sounds scary to white people. Critical race theory. Like, if it was just called, like, make it American, you know, like, there's Mexico, which is scary to white people. or racist people.
No, racist white people. Let's put them together. So, and we know who you're talking
about. So then they made New Mexico, which, you know, is not as scary. It seems nice, you know? Why don't we just call it New History? There's regular history, New History, featuring all of the history.
Featuring all the truth.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Learn some of this new history featuring all of the truth. Yeah. All these facts that you've been so uncomfortable.
Because you're right. No one has said, like, these things are not real. These things are not true. They just don't. They would like their kids to continue to grow up with this lie that's been perpetuated forever.
And that is my problem with it. And, you know, like we had the message from the conspiracy theory guy and this and that. And I've said this, and you talked about they didn't have social media back then. In the age of social media, people just say no. They're just like, well, you know, you have a PhD, you went to school, you did. And they're like, no. And then next thing you know, they have a million followers and they're all saying no.
Yeah.
Well, based on what? No, like that's all the, you know, that's all they got. It is, you know, so I think about that. If you're raising a child, like that's what you're up against, right?
Yeah. Well, I think it's the, you know, it always comes back to like, it's the parent's job, right? So when he is in school, I will be present and know what he's being taught. And then depending on what kind of homework he's bringing home, what kind of information he's bringing home, then, you know, that determines whether or not we have to go have a conversation with these teachers and these principals.
Can you imagine anything that you wouldn't want him to learn?
No. No, like, I was listening coming in, like, I don't care about the sex ed. That should probably be taught. Critical race theory should be taught. The earth is round. That should be taught. Like, these are all just things.
Oh, you're one of them.
I'm one of those.
You're one of them with your round earth. Should have known.
You know, I can't think of anything. I think with this, my entire parenting career, which is 2 years, I'm very new to this fraternity. I'm just sort of taking it as it comes and, like, learning as I go. And so I can't really tell you right now if there's anything that...
Well, I hope there isn't, but but if there is, I'm definitely going to have you back on, and we're going to talk about it, and hopefully he'll be listening. He'll be listening so we can teach him what Dad didn't want him to know.
Yeah.
This is Alonzo Bowden. The show is called Who's Paying Attention? The station is KBLA 1580. We are unapologetically progressive, and right now we are unapologetically funny because I have my friend, the brilliant comic Mal Hall here. The number 800-920-1580. Call, we can talk about topics, we could talk about comedy, we can talk about pizza. Anything you want, Mal's got it covered. Yes, he is, besides being a great comedian, he is a great pizza chef with a portable wood-fired oven, which I did not know they made. So, in talking about topics, and you know, we were talking about you being a dad, excuse me, one of the things that came up this week, I don't know if you heard this story about a little girl, 7-year-old biracial girl with the big curly hair that biracial children often have. The librarian cut off her hair.
What?
Yeah, the librarian cut her hair, and the school board in, I think it's Mount Pleasant, Michigan. It was in Michigan. They said, well, she's never had any problem before. We're going to let this one go. And they said it's not racially motivated or anything like that. So I have to ask you, as a dad, what would happen? I mean, this father, we figured it out. We said, well, he just didn't want to be put away. He wanted to watch his child grow up. That's why he didn't go down to the school. Yeah. My favorite comment, we had a woman call in, and she said, oh, I'd have been headed down to that school with my own scissors. She'd have been ready to cut some hair.
Yeah,
would you handle that?
That is wild. I mean, her hair wasn't being loud in the library. That is for sure. I would be outraged. The positive thing about my relationship is that my fiance is white, so I could have her write a letter, and that librarian
would
for sure be fired.
Your girl would go Karen on her.
I don't understand. Like, you. I would be outraged, man. Don't touch my child's hair. Oh, my gosh.
He just saw the picture of the little girl in her hair before and after. That's what gets the reaction.
It's 2021, man. and this is still happening, which is crazy to think about. I mean, this we're living in a world where adult white people still ask people of color if they can touch their hair. Can I touch your hair? Like, I'm 37. I've been asked to touch my hair in the last, like, too soon. In the last 5 years, for sure, many a times. Alonzo, you don't have hair. I'm sure white people ask if they could touch your head because they think that your scalp feels different for some reason. Like, I don't get the obsession.
Gonna bring them luck. It's like, you try to rub my head without permission, you're gonna get some bad luck. That's gonna be involved. It's gonna be bad luck involved. I don't know what's going on with it. I mean, and again, we joke about it, but the truth is, like you said, it's 2021 and people are still asking to touch
your hair.
Like I don't know when or how we get over it. There's another story that I'm looking at because, you know, this, you touched on it, and no pun intended, touching the hair. Racists have been emboldened.
Yeah.
You know, this is, again, another sad remnant of the Trump era. They feel that I'm allowed to say what I want to say. I'm allowed to do what I want to do. So here we have an idiot named Lee Mout, or Moat, however you pronounce it, attacks an 18-year-old kid with a bike chain and was telling the kid that black lives don't matter and black people had no right to use the beach. Now, the good thing about this is he was hit with a hate crime and he's going to jail for 5 years. So that's great that he's doing 5 years in prison, and I'm sure he'll be able to find some Aryan white supremacist people that he can, you know.
What part of Florida was that guy living in?
No, this was in Florida. This was in Michigan. I know it sounds like something that would happen in Florida, but if it was Florida, there'd be an alligator involved. And then, of course, we have the guy in New Jersey who was caught on video yelling at this black guy, poking him in the chest, and he gave his address. He was going to be bad. Like, you want me? Come to my house. 150 people came to his house, and he called the police saying, can you please get me out of my house, which they did, and they arrested him. What is going on? And again, this is something, man, generationally, you know, and I talked to you this partly because of your experience with this, right, being biracial and having a biracial child, but also watching the next generation. What are we doing, man? Why do racists feel comfortable?
It's often in these cases, like I saw that video of the guy that gave his address out. What a wild thing to see. It's the older people, and it's older white men that can see that their time is coming to an end, you know, with all of the LGBTQ rights, the women rights, the, you know, Black Lives Matter marches, and they see their kids. Like, what's happening now, from what I see, is parents that are my age are aware, we have perspective, and we're putting all of our kids together, and they're having fun together, and this is not what guys like that guy want to see. And so they're hanging on and grasping for the last straws that they can, making a ruckus on their way out, like sort of the same way Trump did, like just banging the floor until they can't. And it's sad to see for them, but I think it's positive to see that it's only older people. When it's younger people that you see doing these things, that's what scares me, because those people are going to be the adults
part
around when Kalino's an adult.
My thing is, like, I'll never argue with a racist over 40, right?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to change their mind or whatever. But sometimes at these marches and events, you see kids mm-hmm. in their early 20s, they think they know
right
about life. And if you're listening in your early 20s, no disrespect to you. You've had your life experience. But then when you get in your 40s and 50s, you start, you know, looking back, you know, back when my knees didn't hurt. Let me tell you something, kid. Right?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, is when you become a parent, you realize it's your job to teach this person everything you know. Like, you have to download life skills into this person. And unfortunately, the reason why racism is perpetuated is because a lot of people in a lot of places, it's not just the South, it's all over.
Yeah, that's another myth, that it's just the South.
It's all over. Racist people feel like they need to download those thoughts and that information into their kids. And so I feel sad for those kind of young people that say the stock lines that you hear from old racist people. Because it's like, dude, you don't know. Like, the internet has been out the entire time you've been alive. You have the power to find the truth. And you're just choosing to be willfully ignorant is what it is.
Well, I'm going to say there's a story out of Knoxville, Tennessee, where someone went old school. So there was a party being held, and 22-year-old Tanner Holt, an off-duty Knoxville police officer, was at the party, and it was a black wedding, and he told one of the attendees that he didn't know they let black people into the reception hall. And people say that Holt was very intoxicated at the time, spewing racial insults. People tried to stop him. This black man ultimately punched Holt in the face, knocked him out.
Tanner, the police officer.
He knocked the police officer out. He was not charged with a crime. The police showed up. The paramedics showed up and saw him laid out on the ground and were basically like, probably should have kept your mouth shut.
We tell Tanner to keep it quiet. We told him one day this is going to come around to bite you in the face.
Now, this story had a good ending because, you know, we in no way endorse punching a cop in the face, any violence toward anyone, but especially not a cop, because it could get you killed.
Yeah.
But it is, I'm not going to lie to you, Mal, I like this story. It feels good saying, yeah, this guy, because we hear all these stories about these racists and we see these videos and this and that, and this guy just went old school. Really?
Yeah.
Black people ain't allowed? That was the last thing he heard. That's the sound. That was the last sound Tanner heard. And then Tanner woke up and lights was flashing and stars. Well, what do you think, man?
I think that it's awesome to know that common sense is alive and well in Knoxville, Tennessee. It sounds like his captain came down and was like, you know what? He was saying what? And then you did what? Yeah, we're good here. This punishment fits this crime.
Thank you. Thank you. That is a perfect, the punishment fit the crime. Because there was a time when you, and this is how you learned.
Yeah.
You know, I remember years ago there was this thing with this shock jock, and he was taking pictures of people in public, and he was starting a thing. He got into a whole thing with a black woman about to take a picture, and Russell Peters, another great comic friend of ours who I will have on the show one day, and Russell said, you know, that's someone who's never been punched in the mouth.
Exactly.
Because if you've been punched in the mouth, that stays with you, right?
Yeah.
You think about your behavior.
Yeah. And there's a clear line, too. Like, you'll get up to that line and go, I think I could get punched in the face for this. Do I want to proceed?
It's a lesson. It's a life lesson. You know, a punch in the mouth, and it's like getting hit by your father. You know, if your father ever punches you in the chest,
yeah,
you like, oh, that's how men hit.
Yeah.
I've been fighting kids. I didn't know how men hit. Because there's that day when you think you could challenge him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you find out, like, no.
A lot of people have to learn lessons the hard way, though, Alonzo. I got my mouth washed out with soap once. Guess which words I didn't say in the house anymore? The words that got the soap in my mouth.
You are on the other side of that. You're the student has become the teacher now.
Yeah. Yeah, I said the other day, being a parent in 2021, when you're raised, like I'm on the early side of the millennial curve, right? So I remember when the internet, like I remember the internet showing up, but I also remember, you know, carburetors.
Right.
So I was raised a different way. I was raised getting a switch to punish myself, you know, picking my own weapon to be used against me. And the way parenting is now, it's like being an NFL, like a defensive NFL player, like that's been playing for 10 plus years. Oh, it's like you can't hit anyone anymore. Like kids come across the middle on us all day, and I have to figure out a new way to parent.
This is Alonzo Bowden. The show's called Who's Paying Attention? The station is KBLA 1580. Call us. Give us a way for Mal to teach his child instead of teaching him like he's an open receiver coming across the middle and you're a defensive back. Okay, yeah, Mal, that technique's not going to work anymore. KBLA 1580, thank you. Right now we are unapologetically funny because we have the great Mal Hall here, 800-920-1580. So we're talking with Mal about one of his many endeavors is having a son, and he was saying that, you know, raising a son, it isn't like when he was raised.
Yeah, I can't use the same punishment that was used against me on my son. It's like Ray Lewis could not play in the NFL today because they're not allowed to tackle these players.
You can't.
Yeah.
You can't hit an open receiver.
No.
What do they call him? Defenseless.
Defenseless.
Right? He's in the air catching the ball. He's defenseless. Yeah. You were defenseless.
Yeah, and you see it in society now. Like, millennial parents have their hands tied. Number one, they don't want to parent their kids. But number two, like, they just don't know what is allowed, what they could do. That's why we know the names of all the millennial, like, parents' kids when they're out in public. Tanner, get back here. Tanner, Skylar, come over here. Shelly, what did I say? Shelly?
Now, you also said you're looking for a house, and I wish you luck in that search. But here's a problem.
Thanks.
No, here's a problem you don't have to deal with. We were talking about this earlier. In Washington State, and this is all over the country, the covenants that were in these houses, you know, that you couldn't do. People, when we talk about race and racism, getting back to critical race theory, and one of the things I talk about is redlining. This isn't that old, okay? In Olympia, Washington, in 1951, and this person said, I'm looking for the name, I'm sorry. So, when I got to Washington State, I was surprised at how white it was, and now I understand why, said Mary Hall, the Thurston County auditor. Here's something that was in the covenant of selling this house. Quote, no race or nationality other than the Caucasian race shall use or occupy any building on this lot, except that this covenant shall not prevent occupancy by domestic servants of a different race or nationality employed by an owner or tenant. This is in the paperwork to buy the house, and this was just removed this year because this auditor is finding these covenants in this house. So you're going to get a moment to digest this while you're looking for a house. I want you to think, well, now there's a problem that we have to deal with. This is Alonzo Bowden. The show's called Who's Paying Attention? I'm sitting here with Mal Hall trying to get him in a house. All right, Korn, knock it off. Just stop it. This is Alonzo Bowden. The show's called Who's Paying Attention? The station is KBLA 1580 AM. At the top of the hour, Dr. Jayshana Johnson will be here with her show, Let's Get Intimate. She will talk about intimacy and relationships. Korn is sitting up here playing A House Is Not a Home because I'm sitting here with my guest, the very funny Mal Hall. And we're talking about buying a house and problems that you have, but problems you don't have. There isn't one of these covenants saying they can't sell you the house.
Yeah, we were looking for a house in San Diego, and we didn't come across any of those covenants. We did come across prices that were just too crazy. And there are people actively driving around in Southern California in cars that say Zombie Hunter. So I think we're going to start looking in other states. It doesn't seem safe.
Zombie Hunter. Well, you know, I don't know what the price is. Like, that's a disclosure. If there was a zombie living in the house,
maybe that
price will be reasonable.
And yeah, the reason, the crazy thing is houses are so expensive out here that I would go, how scary is a zombie?
how long has he been a zombie? How much space can a zombie really take up?
Yeah. I don't think a zombie wants to deal with my kid. So,
so Mal, you're back from the pandemic. You're back out working live. Where can the people listen to you? Where can they see you? And by the way, I'm going to tell you, he's going to give you his Instagram. Follow Mal's Instagram because one of his many talents is he is a fantastic photographer. His lady and I have laughed at the fact that Mal takes pictures of everything everywhere. So give him where to follow you.
Follow me on that Instagram at Mal Hall. That's M-A-L-H-A-L-L. My website is malhall.com, and that's where you'll find all my tour dates and my merch and whatnot. And Mal Hall TV on YouTube.
All right, that's great. And speaking of merch, he sells these laugh T-shirts. His fans buy them and get their picture taken all over the world. It is fantastic to check out. You want to join that club. I am going to be at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood tonight at 11, and I'm going to be at the new stand-up comedy club in Bellflower tomorrow at 8. This is Alonzo Bowden. The show is called Who's Paying Attention?